Thank you. As we, some of us grow older, we get some ailments that we didn't have before, and at the moment, I can't stand for very long without a little bit of some spinal pain and nerve endings. But it is so good to be with you today, to be live streamed as well, and we welcome those who are with us or will be with us even during the week as they review this worship service. I'd like to start by reading two scripture passages. The first one is from Luke 9, 23 to 25. Then Jesus said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves?" And from Psalm 23, and this is the New Revised Standard Version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." Amen. Again, a delight to be with you today. And it's kind of nice to come to a place where you know people, where there's familiar faces. And some of you, with all that COVID brought, may not see me around as much. I worked in the hospital through some of the really difficult times, and so was keeping myself safe so that I could keep my patients safe. But again, it's a delight to be with you this morning. A prominent African-American pastor in New York asked an elderly black woman as she was leaving the church service how she was doing. And she replied, "Well, preacher, I'm somewhere between thank you, Jesus, and Lord have mercy." It's true. It's true that when we face a lot of difficult circumstances in our life, it brings up a lot of different emotions and a variety of responses to God. I think that's why we turn to the Psalms for comfort, to comfort us, to inspire us, to express either in praise or in lament what's deep inside of us. The most cherished of Psalms, I think, is the one we heard today, Psalm 23. It's a psalm of trust and assurance. It is a psalm I'm sure you've heard many times. Some of you can recite it in the authorized version. I challenged Charlie to that this morning. He did okay. And I am absolutely sure that you have heard a few sermons based on it. Well, today I don't want to look at it from the angle of a shepherd or dumb sheep. I want to look at it on a deeper level, to think deeper into our own expectations and desires as it relates to God's promise of divine help. Because it is often used at a time of deep sorrow or deep fear, and we turn to that psalm, but what do we expect? The psalm pledges that we will not want, that the pastures will be green, the table will be spread out, and the cup will overflow. Such marvelous images. But what does it mean for us? What is it that we're looking for from God in difficult circumstances? When you and I hear the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," what are we thinking? What do we think? Do we get everything that we want? Do we even know what we want? There is a Christian movement called the Prosperity Gospel that emphasizes the believer's ability to transcend poverty and/or illness through faithful devotion and positive confession. It means that if you pray hard enough, if you are devoted enough, if you truly believe and are positive, you will not get sick or not get a terminal illness. I had a dear colleague and a friend that believed up until the day she died, until the day she died of ovarian cancer, that the prayers of the faithful would lead God to miraculously heal her. It was hard to talk to her about things that were happening and how she was actually feeling about her doctor's terminal diagnosis. She wanted healing. She believed she was healed. But you know, I went to see her in March of 2015, and I didn't even recognize her. She had shrunken down and she was in a wheelchair, all the while declaring she was cancer-free. She wanted only positive-thinking people around her. Her husband kept anyone who might speak to her about the terminal diagnosis, he kept them away, and most of her extended family and friends were left at a distance. She died at 55. And I miss her. As a hospital chaplain, I have found that there are no guarantees in life. Christians get cancer too. Sometimes they survive it and sometimes they don't. Sometimes a life-saving organ is found for a loved one and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes someone they love dies and sometimes they don't. I haven't seen a faith formula that works every time for every situation. I haven't seen that formula that says God will reach down and create a miracle, something that we desperately want. I've seen too many untimely deaths, particularly with COVID. And I guess I would say I've only really seen one medical miracle in my time at UH, just one. So I know that the mystery of the divine can intervene and shock doctors and just, I don't know, make myself think and her uncle, who's also a spiritual care person, think again about the divine. But why and when and for who, that's a mystery, isn't it? Each one of you have had your own experiences. I'm sure you have seen miracles, and I'm sure that you have seen tragedy and hard things. Yet the psalmist says, I shall not want. And there will be green pastures and still waters and overflowing cups. But let us stop and realize that the writer of this psalm, to that writer, green pastures is not the lush Canadian meadow that you have in your mind, you know, with little wild flowers blowing in the wind and green all around and sheep and cows and goats nibbling everywhere. No, the psalmist would have seen green pastures in a totally different way. They knew that those were the rough hillsides in a very arid land where the dew pocketed in rocky shale and could allow tufts of green plants to grow. And as they looked out, there'd just be these little tufts of green, and that was the pastures, and that was enough, and that was where the sheep went. And still waters? Still waters weren't those lily pools that we have in our head, you know, with the koi fish and the beautiful plants, the still waters. The still waters were small mangers of water that the shepherds provided where and when they could. Just small. In other words, the shepherd gives just enough to sustain the wandering sheep in the midst of harsh land around them. So what about our God? What about God as shepherd? What might trusting God be? May it be realizing that green pastures, still waters, overflowing cups are not about winning all the time or having things work out the way we want or only getting the miracles that we crave or desperately need or want. Perhaps it's realizing again and again that God is present, and that is enough. Yet sometimes we cry out, where are you, God? Where are you in the midst of all of this? Where is God when we want healing, when we want things to get better, when we want to be able to pay the bills when there is no money in our pocket, when we want the suffering to end, when we just want to skip around the game board of life and get to go and collect our $200. The psalmist found his answer where we always find it. And it's not in an explanation of suffering, but in the presence of God who does sustain us in that suffering. Prayer is going to the still waters, to the still place, where the Spirit stills us to the point where we can get our bearings in a world that beckons us in a thousand directions, where we can quiet our soul. Answers to prayer may be the tufts of grace and mercy. God gives us tender mercies, the small graces that let us know we're not alone facing the enemy that may be sickness, financial upheaval, loss and grief, or even impending death. There are tender mercies. Those I've seen by the thousands in my ministry of 30 odd years and in my time at the hospital. Thousands of those little tufts of tender mercies that the psalmists speak of in Scripture. You know, when I had my own struggle with cancer, I remember a day of real discouragement and deep sorrow. And I went to the mailbox expecting nothing. I suspect because I was just trying to fill in time. And I went to the mailbox expecting nothing because the day before when I looked, there was nothing. And the day that I was now looking was a holiday Monday. Yeah, it was Easter time. And I was deep in sorrow. So I went there, and the mailbox was filled with letters from my congregation, letters of encouragement and of care. And even in my head now, I imagine those people, I know those people that just poured out their care through these letters. And that was like a pouring of the tender mercies of God down upon me. You know, it didn't change the diagnosis and the many days of treatment ahead of me, but it sustained me in that day and for days to come as those letters continued to come. It was just enough to keep me going. Is just enough enough? Is just enough enough? Enough for you and for me? Are the tender mercies in the moment of despair and the small acts of grace that get us through a painful time enough for us? Does our cup overflow with the presence of God being in the midst of our heartache and fears and pain enough? Or do we instead plead for more of God's intervention? And the wonderful thing about God is he still listens. He's still there. He wants to hear from us again in praise or lament. We heard from the psalmist today, and we also heard the words of Jesus about denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily. Now, that passage of scripture is for another sermon and another time, but it does speak to the complexity of our relationship with God. And I wonder if we forget that passage or passages like it in the midst of our strong wants and needs sometimes. It's balanced out sometimes to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus and God. You know, and I'm reminded of the beautiful poetry and description that comes from Isaiah 40, which also imagines God as shepherd, but then immediately it moves into the sheer mystery, greatness, unknowing of God. Isaiah 40 says this: he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Then it says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the God consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught God knowledge and showed him the path of understanding? How are we truly to know or to comprehend the vastness and the uniqueness of God's tenderness to us? What can we expect from God? I think we can see miracles. But I think we can also see those tender mercies, those little tufts of grace. What is enough? How much is enough so that we know that we're loved and cared for by God? Look at your situation today, and when you leave this place, think about what God gives to sustain you. It is said that optimism is believing that everything will work out, and hope is the conviction that even if things don't work out, God is still at work in us. God is above and beyond our knowing, and yet at the same time, God is near and closer than our breath. May God bless you with enough of what you need from the divine today. God bless you. And may it be enough.